The following presentation was recorded at the 1996 Teachers Workshop at Faith Builders. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
We certainly are here by God's design and thank the Lord that He does give life to give life. You know, as you meet that school body, sometimes you meet a dead audience. But you're there to give them life. You're there to give them life. And I'm challenged by that. There's different ways people do things, and as I work with our staff, I find very different, unique guidelines and things that teachers use that are different from mine, but our goal is to give life. Now, in this session, we want to talk about parents, and I guess, first of all, I'm supposed to introduce myself. You know my name. You should probably surmise I'm a school teacher. That's correct. I've enjoyed teaching. I've been working with a school for about 17 years, teaching part-time for 9 of those, and now I've been full-time 8 years, and a lot of water went under the dam. That's wrong, isn't it? It goes over the dam, okay? But a lot of water travels, and it's exciting. It's exciting to see these little ones come in there, and all of a sudden their parents wink at them and blink their eyes, and all of a sudden they're graduating. And you wonder what you did. And some parents wonder what you did too. But time moves on. And to some teachers, they're glad it does. Some students, they're glad it does. But nevertheless, we have a great responsibility. And while we go through this workshop, we may tread a little bit on each other's ground because there's some things that are vitally important. We're talking this session about involving parents, and I want us to understand that parents are one of the keys, are one of them. We cannot totally focus our minds on parents and think that parents have got to do it, but parents are a key. They are a key that you've got to use. It's a vital key. And I just want to bear that before you today. There's so many schools that when a parent walks in the door, oh no, they're scared. They're fearful that they might be looking for something that you aren't doing right. Praise God if they find something. That's what parents are for. And as we go through this workshop, I trust our hearts can be challenged as we go back to our schools and get our parents involved. There is so much blessing. Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Very familiar scripture that leads what we want to use as a text. I have 3 points I'd like to share with you today. How can teachers involve parents? That's our question that's presented. And I want to share a few things I think are very, very important. I found as I've experienced it and worked with it that it's so important. Brother Gish alluded to this, and I guess I'm going to come down on it pretty strong. Because I saw as I worked in the school board and worked with other teachers that here's a mistake that so often school teachers miss. It's a grave mistake. The point number one is we are the parents' servants. We are the parents' servants. Most of our boards are composed of parents. But we are their servants. We are there to serve. We are there to serve the parents. And through serving, we work with the children and vice versa to condescend on the parents. Let's read these couple verses, and I want you to notice a few things in them. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. And you ought to underline those 3 words, as unto Christ. We'll come back to them. not with eye servants as men pleasers, but, underline again, as servants of the heart. How many of you don't have your Bible? Stand up. You don't have your Bible. Stand up. Come on. You don't have your Bible. This is a Christian educators meeting. I want everybody who don't have the Bible, stand up. You ought to be embarrassed now, okay? As unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. We'll come back to that. Let's move on. I got ahead of myself. Not with eye servants as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With number 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free. I say we are parent servants, but what does this passage say? Does it say anything about parents? Does it say that we're supposed to do things the way the parents tell us to? Come on. We are to be doing things how? The way the Lord wants things done. And I want to tell you something. There comes tremendous conflict between parents and teachers at times because, dear teachers, we are to do things the way God says, not parents. I want you to put that in your notes. You are to do things the way God wants it, not the way parents. I've seen some teachers crumble their entire opportunities for life that God could use them because they sought opportunity to meet the demands of parents. I want to tell you something. When we face the parents, we face God's standard. And I cannot stress that enough. I'd like to look at three things. Four things actually in this passage, and I've alluded to them. Our work, we are the parents' servants, but our work is unto Christ. We are the parents' servant, but our work, but we are the servants of Christ. We are doing things Christ's way, working with parents. There will be times in which the way you're doing things won't be accepted by the parents. That's not important. Because notice in this passage, we're servants of Christ, we do it as unto Christ, we do it as unto the Lord and not unto man, and because we aren't looking to the parents for reward. And I want to tell you something that's very, very secret. When you work in involving parents, remember one thing, that is you expect nothing out of them. As I worked on the board with another principal, as a young fella, there's something that really bore in my heart. And that was that fact. The principal wanted to gain the approval of the parents. And he almost wrecked the school. I don't care how godly your parents may be, they're no substitute for the Lord. They are no substitute for the Lord. You and your own self have to have a relationship with God in the onset of involving parents, that parents won't trip you up. Because you have one issue come to the forefront, and one parent will say this, one parent will say this, and they're opposite. And in all love and sincerity, we need to face our calling. We are servants. Here's the word I want you to put in your notes. It's very important. When we work with parents, you demand nothing out of parents, but you appeal. You appeal. You want to encourage parents to help you. You want to get parents involved in everything you can. You say, well, you'll work yourself out of a job. No, you won't. There's that much to do. There's that much to do in the lives and hearts of people, and especially young people of our age. And Brother Gish brought out some of the things. And I want to tell you something. We live in a wicked, vile age. And we have a challenge with a mandate by God to raise the young people we have for God. Appeal. And I found this very, very true. We had a family in our school, and they were very, very, very discouraged. Very, very discouraged. And I don't know if I can express the zenith of their discouragement. But they didn't even care about Christian education. They wouldn't send them to public school, but they were very, very, very upset. Basically because of little issues. And I put them in my heart to get them involved. And they got involved in little insignificant situations. And you would not believe the difference. They had two children coming to our school. They were destined for hell. I'm being honest with you. And God turned their attitude around and got involved in the school, and both of them got saved. I want to tell you something. Your parents' attitude toward the school is very critical to the salvation of their children. But appeal to them. Appeal to them. Ask them to get involved in anything. And in the next point, I'm going to bring out a lot of things that we do that we found that are successful. You need to get your parents involved. And you got to know your parents enough to know where they can be involved, because you can't let them do everything. Okay, first thing is, we are the parents' servants. I never forget that. Next thing I want you to notice is, we are the parents' schoolmaster. We talked about expectations of parents and things like that, but we are the master, the schoolmaster. We have a responsibility, and they expect things of us, and we talked about that. But I want you to look now, at things in which we can do to involve. And I have 4 points I'd like to notice, and they're very generic, and that's all right. First one is, parents need to hear. Parents need to hear. Hear what? They need to hear from you. How many of you every week have a letter to the parents? How many of you have a letter to the parents every month? Okay, how are you talking to your parents? Are you on a telephone from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night? You know, involving parents is involving them in converse. Now, there's no way that you can call every parent every night or every parent once a week. They think you're a bother. But we found in our school that newsletters are so important to parents. And I've had so many people that have come to me and said, oh, I thank you for the newsletter. Now, what's in a newsletter? Somebody tell me. What is it? News. You know, it's the news that they look for. But I want to tell you something, dear people. It's got to be more than news. We had a teacher one time that was very enthusiastic, and I loved her enthusiasm. But she had the newsletter so newsy it stank. I mean, parents said, what's all this about? I mean, it's almost like flattery. You know, you wonder if it's true. But I want to face before you this morning, they want to hear, but they want to hear a number of things, and that newsletter can do that. Number one is, they want to hear where you're going. put it down just that way. The newsletter is a place where the principal needs to put something in there that tells the parents, this is the way our school's going. Now, I try to get one out every week, and I fail. And you probably will, too. But be as consistent as possible. We aim for twice a month that we share. But they need to know where you're headed. And that's involving parents. If they are going to pick up the vision that you have for your young people and how that's impacting the church and impacting the community, you've got to tell them so. I think the newsletter I compose of three things. One is a challenge. Where are you going? Number two is parent news. Things and activities that parents are naturally involved in. It might be field trips. It might be a Christmas dinner. It might be things. I don't know what you have planned in your school. But there are things that entertain that go with parents that they're involved in. It's a place where you put, well, we need somebody to help in this area. Put it in there. You're appealing to them. Very, very important. Don't demand of your parents. Appeal to them. Give them room. Third thing you want in there is news for the students. I get them used as we hand out our newsletters on Thursday afternoon. Man, them students grabbing things, and they want to make sure what's in them about them. They want to know what's in there about them. They don't care about the parent news. They don't care about the paragraph or the article I write on where our school is going. They don't worry about that. They just look for that one session. You know, whose name's in there, what it's about, what do the teachers find this week interesting about the students. Parents need to hear. They need to. And I just want to challenge you. A newsletter is a way to get parents involved, and we do it two ways. One way. I shouldn't say two ways, one way. We send it home. That's one way we do it. But that's not very effective. What we've adopted is an envelope that we initiate. We initiate an envelope, and the parents have a place to sign on there when they have read it. That's a little bit of accountability, but some parents don't like it too good. But we want them to read it. And so on the outside envelope, there's lines, one place for the mother's name, one place for the father's name, and just to say that they read it. And it's been a blessing. I've had so many parents come back to me and say, you know, I'm thankful for that newsletter. I had one mother come back to me, and this mother, I didn't know it at the time, but she was going through an immense struggle, a terrible struggle in her life. And it's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in her eyes. But that newsletter met her need. I thank the Lord. It met her need. She told me that. She said, that's what I needed for that week. Newsletters. I mean, if you're an elementary child, elementary teacher, write to your parents. Write to them. Please, write to them. Give them a challenge. Tell them where you're going. Give your vision for the young people. Tell them a little bit about the news of the future. Tell them a little about the students. Very important. Very important. They need to hear. The second thing you want to notice is, and that is that parents need to think. We want them to think about more than, that they got to pay their bill. Some parents think that they get their bill paid and that's all needed. We need to be not only stimulators of children, but stimulators of adults. Our vision as teachers, as we work with those children, as we see them day in, day out, through the social struggles, through the spiritual struggles, need to penetrate vision in our parents. When you see a child going through a struggle, it's time to touch base with home and just share your heart. A time to think, time to think. Parents need to think. And we use our PTFs, basically. Some people call it PTA. We use our PTF a lot for that. And that is that we use it as a highlight time to build vision in our parents. The last PTF we had in March, we had a missionary come in. And our school is pressed for room. We're tight. We got a little church space, and we got 40 students in there, and it's not very comfortable, to be honest. We're this tight. And we were thinking about building a school, and everybody's saying, man, where are we going to get the money? Where are we going to get the money? We don't have the money. We don't have the money. Some of those struggles, you know, that happens in when you undertake a big undertaking. And this missionary came in, and he was from New Guinea. And he went over there, and they got up together volunteer help, and they had a school up in 3 months for 40 children. I'll tell you what, you talk about silencing thoughts and minds. God did it. Everybody asks, well, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? Just did it. Just did it. PTF is a place of challenge. The principal, your principal, ought to be on fire PTF night. People may get tired of it, but PTF night is my night to talk to the parents. You know, some PTFs, well, you have them in, you have an introduction, you have a devotional, board members have that, and then you just go in the classrooms and talk all night. And well, if you have 15 minutes, you get your 15 minutes in with this teacher, 15 minutes in with this teacher, and then it's way late and it's over. Those things ought to be done another day. My opinion, PTA and PTF is a time in which we gather parents together and we cause them to think. Think about what their children are there for. Think about where they're going to spend eternity. Think about where they can serve the Lord after graduation. Our PTFs is a place to involve parents. And I love PTFs. I know there's some people that don't. I love PTFs. Not because I talk. No. But because we're involved. And I just think that our PTFs are a valuable source to make them think. Maybe you have a question or anything as we go along. Feel free to bark. Ready to move on? Next one is parents need to know. Parents need to know. We have what we call parent conference. I think Brother Gish calls it parent interviews. And I'm going to highlight that just a little bit. He said a lot of good things, but I want to tell you something. There is something that I think is very critical to the life of a school. You'll get to know your parents immensely when you have a parent interview or a parent conference. Now, I don't know, you say 10 minutes. We take 30 to 45. It's about what it takes. And it takes time. But I want to tell you something. There is so much accomplished whenever you get together with the staff, and the parents. I'll tell you one illustration, this may make you laugh, but it was true. I don't want to mean anything by it. We had a parent that came in for a parent conference and they were upset. And it's good they were. It was time to get out. They were upset. We had made a ruling that affected their child and they were upset. And they claimed that this ruling showed that I was partial towards certain students, and that was fine, and I accepted that charitably. But this lady, she was sitting there, and all the staff were sitting there beside her, around the table, and we were talking there. She was unloading all the filth and everything she had. And I sit there, and I listened and listened and listened and listened. I get tired of listening because it went around the same thing again and again and again. And in the process of time, I don't know if it was the Lord's moving, but she had no pins in her covering. And the more she talked, the looser it became. And she was going like this and going like this. And you know, when your dress has a collar on it, it keeps bumping and keeps bumping. And she was talking and giving her a row. And all of a sudden she went, it was on the floor. She didn't say a word after that. She's my best supporter that I have. I could count on that lady today. But I want to tell you something. It was that parent conference that made the difference. Just willing to listen and listen and listen. I don't know why God decided to do that. My staff, they commended me for not laughing. It was hard. It was hard. But I think God, you know, needed to convey a point. And he did a good job of it. But I've had so many blessings in parent conferences. It's a time scheduling. It really is, to just get out and call the parents up and say, could you come here at 4 o'clock? Could you come here at 4:30? We always send them a slip home in the newsletter that when you can sign up, what's your two best times. And then my staff gets together and they line all these things up. And we have to call and change things. And twice a year, you know, you got to schedule out 4 or 5 evenings that get a little bit like revivals. You know, you're there day after day and hour after hour. But I want to tell you something, dear people. It is one of the best things that you can be there to let people know. At parent conference, we share our hearts with the children, with the parents. We bring our high school students in at parent conference. We don't bring the elementary students in. Bring the high school parents in with the parents, and we share our heart. Those high school students are able to sit there with their parents, and we share what we see in their lives. We do. Years ago when I was in school, we had parent conference, and the principal at that time, he would always excuse the high school students after a little bit. No way. No way. I tell my students, if you're going to hear it, you're going to hear it right from me. And we talk about their lives and what I see, because you as teachers, you see a lot that the parents don't see. And it's a shame for you not to bare your heart. I'm not talking about negatives. I'm talking about positives. I'm talking about a balance. Shared with one father one time, and there are some problems with discipline in his boy. And I love this boy. He is one dear, dear young person. But he was struggling. I mean, he was struggling. And we sat down at a parent conference, and I shared my heart. I told that father, I said, I'm scared where that boy is going. He was sitting right there. And that was tough, but I had to. But I thank the Lord that boy turned himself around by the grace of God. And I want to tell you something. I fear that we're not frank enough to be honest. And that boy, he's a blossom today, but it paid to be honest. We are the pastor. We are the parent schoolmasters. Very important. You need to let everybody know. Let the parents know everything you know. And time doesn't suffice to let you know everything, but parents love it. They love to sit down. And I went around to a number of our parents as I prepared for this workshop, and I asked them, well, you know, I don't hear too often your opinion on some of these events that we have, and you know what they said? I love them. I know it takes time out of my schedule, but I love them. And I love them too. Just to touch base with their homes and help you to understand what their parents need to know. And that's one way. They may have other ways in which they need to know. Last thing I'd like to bring to our attention, I think this is so important. Parents need to see. So often parents are in a whirl. They're busy in their homes, they're busy at their occupations, and they're busy spanking their children. And they fail to come to a place where they really see the potential that's in those children. And life becomes very humdrum. And so my child will go to first grade, he'll go to second grade, he'll go to third grade, and as long as he gets passed and scores and goes on to next grade, when he gets to 9th, 10th, 11th, however far your school goes, he just gets out and enters into life. And they never get to see the potential that God has placed in that child. I feel it is our responsibility as administrators and as teachers for us to show to the parents through sight the potential that's in those children. Not to drum up any pride, but a thankfulness to God for what He has done. Parents need to see, and I have programs there which I think are very important. We have a program once a year, every spring, and it's a highlight of our school. I can remember the day when it wasn't. It was a drudgery. But our program is a highlight of our school. It's a time for the children to get up in front of those parents, and I mean pour it on. We've worked hard on that, on our program. We spend a lot of time. When I first started in the Christian education 8 years ago, I wanted to see our children develop the potentials that were there. One of the potentials that needs to be developed is the ability to speak and get up in front of people and to converse. And we do a lot. And some people say we do overboard. When I first started 8 years ago, parents were very critical of the way I did things because I wanted something developed in those children. From first grade on up. And I know there's probably some diversity of thought in this area, but I want to tell you something. Children need to see themselves as sharing God's message. And a program time is a time in which they, before their parents, before their communities, share Jesus Christ. I cannot describe to you in words some of the impact that our school has had on the community. And your school should have the same thing. We had a lady that was our neighbor. And we invited her to the school program. She was a teacher for 37 years. She came to our school program. And these little children would get up and give the story of Jesus. They would sing about Jesus. They would share about Jesus. And you never saw something mellow a heart of people. We have a family in our school from the community, and we just love their children. Their mother's a Christian, their father's not. And he comes to the program. He doesn't come to church, but he'll come to the program. And, you know, when that program's going on, even though he's not a Christian, there's some tears in his eyes. God's breaking hearts. Programs are important. Teachers, you need to put everything you've got into programs. There can be a too much. There can be. But I want to tell you something. It is something that involves the parents that you can't replace any other way. I had a parent call to me just recently and said, I know you put a lot into the spring program, but couldn't you have something else at Christmas too? Couldn't you have something else at Christmas? I said, well, you know, it tells me they like the programs. They like to hear their children sing. It informs them of what we're doing. Well, you say, well, I am not very good at music. I'm not very good at helping people to articulate themselves. Doesn't matter how good you are.
do your best. Doesn't matter how good you are.
There's some other things that we do that I didn't put on here because of time of a room, but I want to just show you a few things as far as getting involved. One of the things we do in our school is that we have two things that are very important to the children, very important to parents. One is chapel. Now, I don't know how many of you have chapel. How many of you have chapel once a week? Once a week? What you do at chapel is very, very important. Chapel is the time in which parents get involved. We have a parent having devotions every week. Some parent. The fathers, that's their job. Moms come along. We just love involving parents. They love to be there. You know, I've never heard any of them. You know, sometimes if you ask them for a topic Sunday night, they all of a sudden cringe. They don't want to do that in front of people. You know, when they come to school and their child's there, they don't mind doing it. And we get some very generic from some people's perspective of lessons that are taught by some people who aren't used to speaking. That's fine. That's just fine. But we love involving parents. One of the things we do at chapel is I don't work on chapel day. That's my day off. I don't do a thing. I just sit there and watch for discipline problems. Isn't that fun? That's all I do, chapel. I have a student moderate. I have a student lead singing. I have a student read scripture. I have a student give a poem. I have a student read a story, do a sword drill, maybe have a quartet. All kinds of variety of activities. The parents sitting right there. Just one of them. Just one of them that's there that week. But every week they come in, they see these students up front there. Oh, sometimes they flub up and they're totally embarrassed. Like we had one little boy, he was there and he was moderating. Every time he moderated, he was swinging his old foot like this, you know. He was so nervous, you know, and his face only come above here like this, you know. Oh my, it was wonderful. But you should have saw the look on that parent. That wasn't even their child. Parents love it. They love it. I encourage you to get your fathers, all of them, to come in for chapel. I'm warning. Get your students involved. Put some life into it. Put some fire into it. And watch that parent and that behind those children just sit there and see things happen. And they just... We have a sword drill every year, almost every chapel. And one thing that the parents comment about time and time again is they just don't believe how fast these children can find scriptures. Praise God they can. Praise God they can. That's a wholesome activity. Find God's word. Another thing we do is every week we have a warm lunch. Now some of your schools, this may not work. I don't know. But we do. It's a lot of work for the staff. Now don't tell the parents I said that. Okay, they think it's a lot of work for them because they bring it in. But once a week we have warm lunch and we all sit in a big long table. It's 40 of us, you know, and it's stretched here and has another L over there, and we're all there. And we get a warm meal made by normally two of the sisters bringing in, and usually their husbands come along. But there we are. We're sitting down with the students and the parents are sitting down with the students and we're a big family. And it has been a real blessing. Parents love coming in for meals. Just once a week, the students love it. We like to pick on the children that their parents are bringing in and say, what did you order? They'll tell you what they ordered. You know, they want taco salads or they want mashed potatoes. And it varies in children. But our parents, they love it. Shouldn't say all of them do. We have one that doesn't like it too good. You may have a few like that. But we have learned to really, really appreciate it. Next thing I'd like to bring to our mind, and that is this is so important. So important.
And that is that we are the parent's savor. Now, a savor is a flavor. I've had some situations in our school that have been very tough. Had a parent bring in two boys one time, and these boys came from another school. And the parent looked at me straight in the face and he said, "Laverne, I'm going to tell you something. Things aren't good. These boys hated school. They hated school. They were at odds with a previous teacher, and they were sure they'd be at odds with me. They were sure." And that parent says, "Here they are. I don't know what to expect. He was out of ideas." By God's grace, I commit myself to the task of helping those boys. And that father came back to me and he said, "You know something, you put flavor in our home. You put a savor in our home." They hated going to school. They had to force those boys going to school. And in a matter of months, he said, "I can't keep them from coming." I think our schools need to have a flavor and a thrill and excitement that just lives in those children. They need it. I think we as teachers should be so fired up at 8:30 that them students can't hold us back. I think that the morning opening ought to be a place where you just unveil what God has done in your life and what He's going to do in the future, and you just have confidence that that's going to happen, and they get fired up. That flavors the home. I want to show you how involvement takes that cake. We may have alluded to this. I should read those passages. I'm forgetting that. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I think this is a very, very important passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. Find some very sweet words here. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." We are a flavor. We are a savor to the homes. And I want us to see this as we press onward. Our parents want to be involved. And they will get involved as we are involved. Don't expect your parents to get involved in prayer unless you are involved in prayer. I say that kindly. Never expect your parents to get involved in prayer unless you are willing to get involved in prayer. One thing that I tell our parents almost every time at parent conference, I want you to know that we're praying for you and we're praying for your children. Dear teachers, prayer changes things. That's a way to involve parents. The savor of prayer. I'll take a little time just to give you an illustration of what it can happen. The savor of prayer. We had a number of our boys that weren't coming to the Lord. And you know, as teachers, that's a great burden. They weren't older boys. They were just boys that were in the battle. And we began to pray as a staff. This was prior to revivals. Revivals was upcoming. And in the process of time, some of the girls came to us and said, we'd like to have some prayer meetings before school. And I talked over staff and said, we'll get together for prayer. And on one occasion, it was during revivals that we were there, and we got together for prayer, and we were there in the learning center and praying, and don't you know, some of these boys walked in. We were there, kept on praying, and we got up from prayer, and one of the boys said to the girls, you're praying for us guys. Us bad guys, he said. Praying for us bad guys. And the girl assured him that we are. That's what we're doing. Very modest, though. I was really happy. That's what we're doing. It was Sunday night. Preacher didn't have a great, a great message. Sometimes we think that great message is what brings people to the Lord, and that's not true. This is a simple salvation message, and there was four boys that God answered prayer in their lives. No doubt about it, the parents were involved too. But I just wish that every one of you teachers could have been there Monday morning. I mean, you talk about a sweet, sweet spirit. I want to tell you, there is a savor of prayer when parents get involved in prayer. Teachers get involved in prayer. Story is told of a lady. Who had an outstanding class. Just outstanding. And the principal of that school, which had a number of teachers, just couldn't understand why. There was something different about this lady. Until one morning he came in. And that lady was kneeling at the desk of a student, praying. I want to tell you something. If we're going to have a savor of freshness in our lives, it's because we've laid every burden before the Lord before we got to Him. I want to tell you something. When we meet the child that day of school, we should have already laid the burden of our hearts before the Lord. That way we can meet them with the freshness that God is able to do what He said He will. Our lives need to be a savor of freshness. When a parent comes in, there needs to be a savor of freshness. I can't stress that enough. Last thing I'd like to bring our attention is a sweet savor of hope. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. I believe that I think it's very critical that we as a Christian school staff have hope for those children. I am amazed as I work in the school that parents become overwhelmed so fast with problems. I called one parent one time, and I guess it was a mistake, but I shared with them my heartbeat for their child, and they were ready to give up on their child. They'll never make anything out of life. I said, that's not true. Our God is able. Our God is able. We need to be a savor of hope. Parents like to be involved where there's vision, where there's someone who can give them hope. We live in a wicked and vile and ungodly world. And parents wonder, will their children make it? Will they be able to have faith against the struggles that are there? And if we know our God, we know that He's able. And I just want to challenge you need to involve your parents in hope. Verse 5 of chapter 5 of Romans says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Our lives need to impact the parents and give them hope. Involvement in the school in many, many areas is one way to build hope. But hope maketh not ashamed. You know, as one thing I look for as our high school students move towards graduation, and that is that their view of the future. Hope maketh not ashamed. When we have our trust and confidence in God, the future is stable. When they are settled in living for God, the future is stable. They aren't ashamed of it. They aren't ashamed of their God because of the Holy Spirit. Impact is the word that a saver does for our homes. It impacts our homes. Do you have any questions or anything that you may have aroused your curiosity? Our time is about up. Maybe a comment or a question. I'm sure I didn't cover it to its maximum, but there are some thoughts the Lord laid on my heart. Okay. Well, the Lord bless you. Go home and involve your parents. Let them do what they can, and you'll find that they'll want to. May the Lord bless you.
Let's all stand for a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you that we can be a part of a plan in which involves a lot of people. Most of all, Father, we thank you for the parents that we have. They are blessed. They're blessed with children, and they're blessed with the Word of God, and they're a blessing to our lives. Father, I just want to thank you that you do care about us. In the many situations of life that call us to be involved with parents. Lord, I want to thank you for the Bible in these times, the privilege to know you and to know your Word, the privilege to hold our Bibles up and share them with children. Bless each teacher as they go home. May you just enable them to be an enthusiastic part of their school, to involve parents, and to bring out life in their homes. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit christianlearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.